And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, real quick, before we jump into our next segment, I got to tell you, so the footprint is changing slightly. So coming up at the first of the year, the affiliate that we're on in Birmingham, we are rolling off of 101.1. So if you were listening to us on 101.1 FM out of Birmingham, WXJC, we went through contract renegotiations with them and decided the best solution was for us to go ahead and part ways. So that being said, if you're a 101.1 ruffian, just know that there's 1,000 ways to get us without missing a beat. I mean, you can just go straight to YouTube. And we're that close. We're like inches away from 1,000 subscribers on
976.
YouTube. Holy smokes. So 976 of y'all have subscribed on YouTube. Thank you very much. But you can find us on Twitter in two different places. You can find us on Rumble. You can find us on Twitch. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's enough of that. Just know this. 101.1, we're changing at the first of the year. Stay with us, ruffians. All right. There's a segment we do every week. I love it. We do it every Thursday, and we usually do it at 3:30, but I'm leaving today early so that Lee can run the show for me, and so we're doing it at 2:30. So this is me calling the roll, and you're right here, so no problem. Hey, Lee.
Hey, right here, present.
Right here, staring me in the face. There we are. And then coming in via Clean Feed Connection, Butterman, are you there?
I am here.
You are indeed. You should have come to the studio today, dude. We could have just had the big party.
We could have all hung out.
Lee brought cookies.
I feel like I was just there.
Actually, you were. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Let's do a round of Butters and Lee. All right. First question, and it spins right off my monologue, a segue here. So Elon Musk sent out a tweet and just rocked the Republicans' world. I mean, like, just rocked their world on the spending bill. Like all of a sudden, knees were shaking. And so they pulled back on that continuing resolution. They're rethinking things. And, I mean, it was Trump and Ramaswamy. But when Musk sent out that tweet, and he also, by the way, threatened to start funding primaries. Well, there are some folks now that are saying that this represents some undue influence by a non-elected official. Your thoughts on that? Lee, you're right here. Go first.
Undue influence.
Undue influence.
Like we haven't had that forever. I didn't hear anybody crying about that before now, because most of the undue influence was on, you know, the Democrat side. So, you know, when you have Open Foundation funding all these different...
George Soros.
Yeah, George, or Open Society, funding all these different, you know, DAs and things like that. If that doesn't go down to change on a city by city, state by state level, if that's not undue influence, what is?
So, I would agree. So you're not bothered by it, Elon Musk saying, what are you doing?
I love it in the sense of, because it's not just Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the figurehead, but what he has is by establishing X is making citizen journalists a thing.
Yeah.
And giving the people the power to say things. He does tons of polls. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? He's definitely a populist in that sense. So I think that Elon's going to look to the American people a lot for where to put his money. But I do think that for so many years, senators and representatives, but especially senators being in for 6 years, feel as if there's no one's watching. And they can kind of do as they like, and they can do a lot of backroom deals, and no one's watching. Well, now someone's watching, and I don't think they like the accountability.
We put a camera up in the state senate for the first time when my crew got elected in 2010, and there were times when I would sit in the back of the room, and I'd look at a friend and go, he's forgotten there's a camera. All right, Butters, your thoughts. Elon Musk sent out a tweet, and all of a sudden everything changed, and some folks call it undue influence. What do you think?
I think it is hysterical. It is absolutely, I think it just continues to blow away the understanding of how out of touch all of these Nimrods are. They're playing, you're seeing it. We could do a whole show on every facet of what's going on with all of this.
Yeah.
That they're rolling out their playbook of, oh, we're gonna act like Elon Musk is in charge, and we're gonna and the American people are gonna be mad because he's the one calling the shots. Like, but we elected Trump to create with the understanding we were gonna get Elon and Doge, and they were gonna go in and do this exact same thing, and then you brought a 15, like, you guys are stupid and do not get it. I think it's brilliant.
I think you're both right. So the bottom line is, if Elon had tweeted that out and nobody had liked or retweeted it, it would have fallen flat. But the fact is, it wasn't Elon speaking by himself. It was Elon speaking and then rallying the grassroots.
Well, the grassroots were already saying it. Elon was echoing the grassroots with the type of power that he has behind his voice. He has money. He has big money.
I think the key thing that they don't understand, Elon doesn't have influence because he paid all of us or because he stuck a gun to our head.
Yeah.
He has influence because what he says, we agree with.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like, it's just mind-boggling how out of touch with what the heck is going on. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think at this point, as long as you keep going down stuff like this, Elon's untouchable for at least a little while.
And yeah.
And they don't understand it. They don't know what to do with it.
They hate him, but they can't stop him. It's you know, I am Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? Tony Stark is here, and what do you do? But I mean, I'll tell you one more thing, too, before we finish this. That one of the things that I think is different, this is George Soros always operates in secret and in the shadows. Mm-hmm. He'll fund things and pretend he's not really there when you know he is. He'll whisper things in someone's ear like worm tongue, you know, and just destroy things from the shadows. Whereas Elon's out front going, hey, what the heck are you guys doing? And everybody goes, oh.
And he's saying, I'm going to fund someone to run against you. Openly going to fund them to run against you. And doing things, I think, I think it's wonderful personally. I think, he has the ability to, because he has, I don't know how to say it, F you money, it's not going to hurt him. Whereas someone like, if you look at someone like Alex Jones, where he's a big voice of the people.
Yeah.
Well, they just took him down financially.
Yeah.
That's the only way they could.
Because they could.
They couldn't stop his success or his following, but they could cut him down financially. Can't do that to Elon Musk. But he did say he thought he might get arrested if the Democrats won.
Yeah, and in fact, I think if they had also won on the lawfare with Trump, they would have turned on Elon next.
Oh, absolutely.
You had one more thing to say there, Butters?
I think it's just hysterical that we're going to get upset that a private citizen
has
undue influence. Like, I mean, what?
Yeah.
What? Do you understand the garbage that's coming out of your tweets? And oh, by the way, they're all getting irate on his platform that he owns. That's just so awesome.
All right, next question before we run out of time, because we just about did a joint filibuster on that one. So here's question number two. So there's unconfirmed reports out there. I say unconfirmed because I have to, because I'm a responsible guy with a microphone. Anyway, unconfirmed reports right now indicate that President Biden is considering doing preemptive pardons for people who were allegedly on Trump's doo-doo list. All right? So you got Trump's doo-doo list. And it's real, but he's already said, I'm not going to be hunting people down, but they're so worried about whether he will, that there's talk about whether Biden's going to start excusing people, pardoning people, and they haven't even been accused of a crime yet. What are your thoughts on this? This time is you first, Butters.
Well, so has anybody actually done, like, are we doing future crimes?
Yeah.
What kind of garbage is this?
Minority Report here.
We're in pre-crime.
That's where we are.
It is. No one should have the power to do that. And, I don't know what if he does. Obviously, it will be an unprecedented thing. You know, I don't know how you get, do you get that in front of the Supreme Court? And the Supreme Court goes, well, no, that doesn't count. Because how do you know what he's going to... I mean, it's just so ridiculous not something that... No.
Well, he technically insane. Did it with Hunter, because part of his Hunter pardon was those crimes known or unknown for 10 years. So, I mean, if it's like if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, did it make a noise? Well, if a crime was committed but no one's been indicted, can you pardon it? I just stole your thunder. Go ahead and take it with Lee. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, most pardons given are after the fact, right? At least after sentencing. Yeah. A lot of times after time is served. Like, they want to point out that Trump pardoned his son-in-law's father, but that was after he served
after
a two-year
served
term.
His, yes, and 10 years after he served.
Exactly, but he actually served his term. This wasn't getting him out of any kind of responsibility. I'm sure it's just wiping the record clean so he could be, what did this? He gave him some type of
ambassador now, but he pardoned him in the last term. That was six years ago.
But I think he anticipated, something in the future. But I just think that will Biden do it? Yeah, I could see him doing a few people targeted. I don't know if he can just hit everyone, because then I don't want to hear a word from him when Trump walks in and blankets the J6 people with pardons. I don't want to hear a word or commutations or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear anything. But I could see him doing Fauci, because they're going to come after him. And a few other highly placed people. To maintain his legacy, Biden's legacy. Everything comes back to him. Him pardoning Hunter was him pardoning himself anyway, because he's the big guy with 10%. So if you can't get Hunter.
What you got, buddy?
I somewhat disagree.
Hey, wait on. We've been in kumbaya mode the entire time. Now what we got?
I somewhat disagree in that there's any worry about President Biden's legacy, because I think what's actually happening is, number one, I've said it a million times, President Biden isn't making any decisions like he hadn't for a long time. So I think we're seeing a lot of people, or a small number of people, who will never know, but they don't really care about his legacy. They're just taking advantage of the situation to have the pardon power in his name, because he walks out of this. He does crazy stuff with these pardons, and he goes down as the lunatic. He's already he's not looking after his own legacy. So I think there's a lot of other factors at play. And a lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening if he was actually, coherent and thinking about the way people think about him.
I can't disagree. So Obama's third term, which is what I call this presidency, and his left behind network.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying, but I still think
he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah. At this point,
they have nothing to lose because no one knows who they are.
They've already lost everything.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, that's it. We got to call it there. That's round one of Butters and Lee. We come back from this next break, and it's where we flip the script and they ask me questions, and I don't even know what's coming yet. Maybe I can get Lee to tell me during the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're back for round number two of Butters and Lee. And by the way, just keep in mind, coming up top of the hour, we'll take the top of the hour break. And the lovely Charlene and I are headed out to a Christmas gathering. And Lee from Huntsville is going to sit in for me. And I am just stoked over it. So thank you very much again.
Happy to do it.
Happy to have you do it. All right, so this is the part of the whole thing with Butters and Lee where we flip the script, they ask me questions, and I just wait to see what's going to happen. So, ladies first, here you are. What's your question for moi?
I was so elated and excited to see that the Georgia Court of Appeals ruled that good old Fannie Fonny is off of, and her group are off of the Trump case. I know they didn't dismiss it outright, but who else would pick it up? So essentially this is dead in the water, am I right?
I would think so. My granddad used to just to buy my grandmother a box of Fannie Farmer's nuts and chocolate. And I'm pretty sure they were named after this DA, man. Fannie Farmer's nuts and chocolate. But I can make jokes about that all day long. But the appellate court did come out and say they did not dismiss the case outright. But they, in fact, I pulled up a quote. I was looking at this earlier. Let me find that case again. The quote from the Supreme Court or the appellate court in Georgia actually said that an appearance of impropriety is generally not enough to support disqualification, but that this is the rare case in which disqualification is mandated and no other remedy will suffice to restore public confidence in the integrity of the proceedings. That's an absolute rebuke of her.
That's harsh rebuke,
That's a stain on her resume now. It's not just that she lost a case and it got appealed. It's not just that she wanted more out of a case that she didn't get, so she was fighting for something more. This is the appellate courts of her state saying what you did was absolutely improper and we're taking you, we're forcibly taking you out. You're fired. That's what this is. And she gets to keep her job, but she can't keep the case. Now, here's the question. Is anybody else going to want to take this case? Mm-hmm. And you got to know the answer is no.
No.
Who's gonna triage their prosecuting department and go, I think we have time for this. No.
Nobody wants that kind of heat anyway. They've already seen what it brings. And was she not a Soros-funded DA?
I think she may have been.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of these were put in place beforehand specifically for this route. They wanted to get him.
Yeah.
And they did their very best. And they wanted to stop him from ever running again. They wanted to crush him. They wanted to make him unelectable. And they failed at every turn.
If Trump has a doo-doo list that he's going to take action on, I hope George Soros is on it. Maybe there's an opportunity there. Anyway, that's another story. all right. So, yeah, Fannie Willis is off. And apparently she disagrees with being called Fannie. But that's what her name is, right? Isn't it?
She Fawny? Said that.
Is it Fawny?
It's I guess it's Fawny. I don't care, honestly. She's more like a Fanny to me.
okay.
A donkey's Fanny. But she's just, and she's come out with a speech basically saying,
whatever.
Yeah. How dare you insult me?
The level of impropriety here is just galling. And the fact that she was as smug and as condescending as she was the entire time and lied under oath about her relationship with a guy she never should have hired to work the case with her.
Yep.
I mean, the whole thing just reeks. And I'm glad. I'm glad that the appellate court saw fit to just slap her around a little bit.
100%.
All right, before I run out of time, Butterman, what is your question for moi?
All right, so I know we're not going to get a chance to do this again before the big day. So here's... Put your Santa security hat on, all right? So you're okay. Santa's security advisor.
Okay.
What are the last minute geopolitical security issues that you're passing on to him as he's boarding that sleigh to make his trip around the world?
Make sure you file an FAA plan because drones are being shot down in South Alabama as we speak. just know that if you at all look like a strange vehicle flying overhead in Ukraine, that they may sure enough go ahead and take you down with a Alabama-made Javelin missile. And then on top of that, I would say if you fly over any one of the Trump golf courses, you're fair game. So other than that,
or military
Santa Claus,
bases.
Go right ahead. Do what you got to do. How's that for an answer?
I think that's a good one. So is he safe in Syria or not? I'm not really sure how that's going down.
We don't know yet. All we know is the Russians are no longer flying over in Syria, but the Turks apparently are. So I don't have an answer for you there. Proceed with caution, Santa. That's what I would say.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. That was pretty good. We need to maybe study that in more detail. All right, listen, we got 30 seconds till the break. So, Butterman, thank you for your time, brother. We'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure. And Lee, thank you for being here. And to all of y'all out there, thank you for giving Charlene and I the opportunity to head out to a church gathering with members of our small group. And the fact that Lee is here, y'all give her all the grace, all right? Give her all the grace you give me. So there's
and
that.
And a little more, maybe.
You're going to do good. All right, listen. We got plenty more where that came from. You guys stay tuned. Emily Jones calling in. We got a dipper that belongs to Lee, and Charlene and I are headed out. Talk to you soon.